Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, June the 14th, 1987. May the Lord bless as we worship Him today around His precious Word. We thank God for each one of you. We love you. At this time, we'll let Melanie come and introduce our choir number.
Sure do miss Tom this morning. It's Press On, It Won't Be Long. That's the song we've been practicing, and we're going to bring it to you this morning. For the choir, too, and for everybody out here, whoever wants to come and sing with us, they're more than welcome to come up and sing in the choir. We're having practice tonight just for 15-20 minutes to go over the song for next Sunday, because there's going to be a lot of people out this week. So if anybody sitting out there wants to join us, they're more than welcome to come sing in the choir with us.
Be short at the longest, I believe, until Jesus comes back to rapture the church home. So keep pressing on. It won't be very long. During the evening service tonight, we're also going to be giving out certificates to our BBS workers. And also, we're going to give out certificates to those who were in adult BBS. We had 18, I believe, enrolled in an adult vacation Bible school for 5 different sessions. So, trust to have a good group out tonight for our evening worship. As far as a prayer request, I would like to mention 3 or 4 here that were given to me, and I found out about them later after the bulletin was printed. Amadel Clemens had surgery, knee surgery, this past Friday, I believe. And let's be praying for her. She won't get to drive for about 6 weeks, I believe. Let's be remember her in prayer. Also, Brother John Baker is in the hospital in room 201. Let's be praying for him. And also Lillian Landon, David Landon's grandma. Ms. Landon is in room 211, the room my mom stayed in so long. She's in room 211. Let's be praying for these three. Plus, I asked Ms. Hurt today about her daughter, Oberyn, and Oberyn is doing better. And she doesn't have to have any further treatment. And so, Ms. Hurt, we're certainly thank God today for your daughter's recovery. And also others listed here in the bulletin. We're glad to have Ms. Kelly with us today. God bless you. We certainly appreciate you and your testimony, and just thank God for you. This time, Brother Kermit's going to come to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. Brother Kermit's working in children's church downstairs. Brother Earl and his family are gone today also. So, Brother Kermit, you come and read our scripture and lead us in prayer, brother.
Matthew 9, 35 through 38, if you would, please. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, we come to thee, Father, giving thanks for thy goodness to us, for looking over and directing and guiding us, Father, in all things. And, Father, we pray that for those that are mentioned here earlier and those, Father, that we failed to mention that have needs, those, Father, that are in our bulletin, that you be with them, Father, and be with the families that are touched. Bless and keep them and raise them up, Father. And, Father, we pray that you be with those of our number that are apart and those, Father, that will soon be departing. See them with a safe journey and return them to us. Bless and keep them, Father, in all things. And we pray now, Father, for each home represented here this morning, what they mean, Father, to thy kingdom and to this work. And we pray, Father, that you continue to give us the will and the ability to stay in thy service all the days of our life. And that all that we do, Father, that we're able to give thee the praise and the glory. And, Father, as soon as we part thy house and go our way, be with us in all things. This we pray, Father, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Let's get our songbooks for our last song and turn to page 391. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And we're going to sing all 3 verses, and let's stand.
Thank you.
Our missionary moments this morning is going to be the ones that we're giving our VBS offering to. And that's Keith Reynolds, Jr., and his wife, Kathy, and their two boys, Jared and Seth. Where they are missionaries, they speak Spanish. And they've been on the mission field, I believe, 1 year. They've been in language school 1 year. So they've been gone 2 years. And they're going back to Honduras in just a few days. And we'd like to call on our ushers right now to come up and take up our offering this morning. We're going to be having another offering for our missionaries, Keith Reynolds, Jr. and his family, during the evening service tonight. Would you lead us in prayer, Jeff? Would you lead us in prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come to thy house. We pray for Brother James to bring the message to us. Please be with each and every one of us. Those who are not saved today, Father, please touch their hearts. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For the message today, and Melon and Wanda have a duet for us. Thank you, girls. We enjoyed them this week and their music time in Vacation Bible School. I see Brother Lester Parsons out here in the audience. Most of you all know that he was in an accident this past week, and we want to thank God, Brother Lester, that God protected you and that you weren't hurt except bruised a little bit. Thank God for seat belts, and also thank God for God, who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Trust you'll be praying for us as we leave in the morning for Pennsylvania on about a 12-hour trip. We know that God's going to have His will and His way worked out. My mom is still not doing all that well, but I know God's able to help her. Also, God is able to help Tim. We haven't heard from him in 4 weeks. I threatened the Red Cross on him once, and here came a letter and a phone call in 1 week. I may have to threaten the Red Cross on him again. I was hoping we'd hear from him before we went on vacation, but I guess we're not going to unless he calls today sometime. Trust you'll be remembering us in prayer and others that are on vacation right now. We know God's able. This morning we're going to look into the Bible and look at about three or four passages, the one Brother Kermit read and two or three others this morning, on what you and I as a church should be doing. This coming August, the Airport Gardens Baptist Chapel and Church will celebrate 25 years of being here in this community. We started August the 12th, 1962, down here on the street below the church. And the Lord has blessed us during these almost 25 years. And I know He's going to continue to bless as we're faithful to Him and faithful to this book, the Bible. Jesus said in one place, occupy till I come. He said, be about my Father's business until I come. Occupy. So I come. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man, and I believe this means woman, boy or girl, it means everyone, it's required in stewards that a person be found faithful. A steward is someone who takes care of someone else's property. And so we're here to do what He would have us to do. When Jesus was 12 years old, He went to Jerusalem, to the temple. And Joseph and Mary missed Him and went back to find Him and searched for Him for 3 days. And they found Him. And Mary said, don't you know your father and I have been searching for you, sorrowing? You know what Jesus said? In Luke 2:49, He said, wist ye not? He said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And my friends, I'd like to encourage us, I would like to challenge us as a church this morning to be about our Father's business. Capital F, our Father in heaven. Someone said if the Lord did not have something for us to do, as soon as we're saved, He would rapture us to heaven. He would take us on. One of the passages we're going to look at this morning is Matthew chapter 5, where it talks about the light and the salt. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus healed a man one day that was born blind. And He said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. Brother Tom mentioned this morning about earthquakes. We had an earthquake in Kentucky while we were having business meeting this past Wednesday night. My friend, that's just like thunder in the distance. The Lord is certainly coming someday to take us home. And the old saying, we better make hay while the sun shines. We better be about our Father's business while we have an opportunity. The 17th century preacher Matthew Henry said this, a life spent in the service of God and in communion with Him is the happiest life that anyone can live in this world. That's so good, I'm going to read that again. Matthew Henry lived in the 17th century. A life spent in the service of God and in communion with Him is the happiest life anyone can live on this earth. I believe that. The Daily Bread said one time, it is easy to sing when we walk with the King. We're laborers together with God, 1 Corinthians 3 says. We're laborers together with God. The church has a great work to do. And we need to be about our Father's business today. Last Sunday's bulletin, we had in there a thought for the day that says this, the time that God allows us is always enough for the work that He allots us. Someday our work is going to be finished. It's going to be finished. We heard a fellow last summer at Camp Nathaniel. And I didn't know that that would be the last time I'd ever see that fellow. He was preaching in his church where he was interim pastor up in Michigan for Christmas Eve service, I believe it was, back in this past December. You know what happened to him? He went to be with Jesus while he was preaching. He went to be with the Lord. There were about, I think, 5,000 people in that service when he went to be with Jesus. His work was finished. And someday, my friends, your work and my work is going to be finished. I don't know when it's going to be, but we need to be faithful to where God has placed us. John chapter 4 is going to be one of the passages this morning. It'll be the first passage we'll look at. And in this passage, chapter 4, verses 34 to 38, John chapter 4 is one of our key verses this morning. Jesus had just met the woman at the well, and the disciples had gone to get some physical food. They'd gone into the city to buy meat. And these disciples were more interested in physical food for their stomachs than they were in spiritual food for their soul. They came back to Jesus, and they offered Him something to eat. You know what Jesus said? My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Verse 32, Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Jesus was interested in spiritual food. The disciples were interested in physical food. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Verse 35, one of our key verses today says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Be Behold, I say unto you, and right here is one of the works that you and I need to be doing. Jesus said to these disciples, lift up your eyes and look on the field. They're white, all ready to harvest. One of the things that we as a church need to be doing is the church needs to be in the field harvesting the crop, harvesting souls. There's not a thing wrong with the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, as we're going to look at in another passage this morning. We need to be out in the field harvesting souls. Someone wrote a song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Another song says, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. We have the best news of going. The gospel is good news. A few years ago, there was a fellow stood right where I'm standing, and he sang a song, Brother Ronnie Combs. He had a 10-string guitar, I believe, or a 12-string guitar. And we got this on tape back there. You know what the song was that he sang for a homecoming that year? My table is full, but my fields are empty. We need to be out in the fields harvesting the crop. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We need to go out on purpose to witness to someone of their need of Christ. Another passage this morning is found in Matthew chapter 9, where Brother Kermit read for us a few moments ago. Jesus did three main things in his ministry here on this earth. It says he went about all the cities and villages, Matthew 9:35. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He did three things: teaching, preaching, and healing. We need to seek to do all three of those. We need to seek to heal broken hearts. Today we need to seek to heal broken relationships. Life's too short to have problems that could be solved with a word of kindness and love. When Jesus saw the multitude, the second thing that you and I need to be doing is we need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Not only do we need to be out in the field harvesting the crop. I remember one time we were in Oregon visiting Myrna's mom and dad, and we harvested. I shouldn't say we, they did. I just rode the tractor, the combine. We combined wheat until about 11 o'clock or so at night. And the next morning, we flew back to Kentucky. Friends, you and I need to be out in the field harvesting the crop. Second, we need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Did you know what? Jesus never saw anyone that he didn't love. He loved everyone. A rich young ruler came running to Jesus one day. And Jesus looked at him, the Bible says, and loved him. Even though he didn't accept salvation, Jesus still loved him. We need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Verse 36 of Matthew 9. What does it take us? What does it take to move us to compassion? It never does say that Jesus looked on anyone with pity. He loved people with compassion. Compassion is pity with its working clothes on. Compassion goes farther than pity does. You've heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Two men had pity on this half-dead man. And the Good Samaritan went where he was and bound up his wounds. Took care of him. That Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus who comes where we are. We weren't half dead when Jesus came to us. We were dead. Period. We were dead. And Jesus came to us. He loved us. Here in Matthew 9, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here's the work of the church. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous. Plenteous. I believe we had 39 moms and dads, along with about 16 or 17 of these 101 up here. In VBS, 39 plus 17 or so that don't go to a church anywhere, don't go to Sunday school. We live on a mission field. The sign back there says you're now entering the mission field. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. I want to challenge each one of us here today to be a laborer. In the harvest field, a laborer. Jesus said, pray ye therefore. Dr. Roy Boatwright used to be over the Sunday school work in Kentucky. You know what he said? When he read this passage one time, he said, the best place to get workers is on your knees. Jesus says here, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There's nothing wrong with the harvest. The laborers are few. We need more laborers. In Matthew 21, Jesus told a parable about two sons. He said to both of those sons, son, go work today in my vineyard. And one son said, I go, and then didn't go. The other son said, I'm not going, but he repented and went. Jesus said, which one of these two sons did his Lord's will? The one who went to work. One said, I'm going, and didn't go. The other one said, I'm not going, but he went. The one who did his Lord's will. I'd like to challenge us today to go work in the vineyard. And the vineyard today is the world. The vineyard is the world. I believe today the world is crying out for Christians who have a burden for souls. A burden for souls. We must have a passion born of compassion. John Knox said this about souls. He said, give me Scotland or I die. George Whitefield said, give me souls or take my soul. David Brainerd said, I care not where I go or how I live or what I endure, so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I wake, they're first in my thoughts. No amount of scholastic attainment, of able and profound exposition, of brilliant and stirring eloquence, can atone for the absence of a deep, impassioned, sympathetic love of human souls. David Brainerd said, "The Daily Bread said one time, a soul winner hears the sound of marching feet on their way to eternity." Do you know what? Every person you'll meet today is either going to heaven or hell. Right now. They're on their way to heaven or hell. We need to see souls through Jesus' eyes. And then we have another passage here in closing our message today. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave the wonderful Sermon on the Mount. And he said in verse 13 of Matthew 5, "Ye are the light," or rather, "ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are the salt of the earth. We preached on salt and light a few weeks ago on Sunday night. How salty are we? You know what salt does? It is a preservative. Would you like to live in airport gardens if there were no Christians at all in this community? Would you like to live here without any Christians at all? Would you like to live in Perry County, Kentucky, the United States, with no Christians? Salt is a preservative. And my friends, the only thing that is holding back the corruption in this world, and it looks bad sometimes anyway, are Christians. Our lesson in Sunday school this morning is just how the world is going in the 20th century. Salt is a preservative. There were some ladies one time discussing things about salt, and there was one spoke up that spoke to every lady there. She said this: "Salt creates thirst." I wonder, people looking at me and you, have we ever created a thirst for God just by the life that we live? By the testimony that we have? We need to make people thirsty for God. Salt is a cleansing agent. Salt adds flavor to food. We need to add flavor to the world. Thank God for being able to be a Christian here in this world. The Lord also said in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light. We had three or four verses during our joint worship service from 1 John chapter 1 that talked about light and darkness. We're the light. You're the light of the world. In Acts 4:13, the Bible says this about the early disciples: "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Do you know what? I don't have any light of my own. The light that shines from my life and your life is reflected sun, S-O-N, light, as we fellowship with Him. There's no darkness in God. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We need to be following Jesus. Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We need to love the book, God's precious word. We need to be out in the field harvesting the crop. We need to see people through the eyes of Jesus and be the salt and the light the Lord wants us to be. Our imitation hymn tonight or this morning is going to be page 209. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Page 209. I'd like to encourage you today, if you never trusted the Lord,